Well, today is Pentecost, so our scripture is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, the story of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, a crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, and Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." Amazed and perplexed, they were saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some of them sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A little girl came home one day from church. Her father said, "What did you study in Sunday school?" And she said, "The day of Pentecost." And he said, "Well, tell me about that. What did you learn?" She said, "It was quite a Sunday, Dad. All the good stuff happened that day. The best music. They had the best preaching. They had the liturgical dancing. They had refreshments. They had beautiful decoration of the altar. It was like, to tell you the truth, it was a little strange. The teacher said there was a big wind and there was like tongues of fire. Then people were kind of filled with something. Something they called the Holy Spirit, and they couldn't keep it to themselves, and they were filled, and they just couldn't keep still, and they went out." And Peter preached, and 3,000 persons got baptized. And the father said, "Wow, that was really something. Pentecost Sunday was really something. Wasn't it, honey?" And she said, "Yeah, I guess we missed that Sunday, didn't we, Dad?" Don't miss it. Don't miss Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday can happen anytime. It can happen here today. There are four things I want to lift up to you that are very, very evident in this story. You see, when God begins to do something pretty big, you know, it's what God does, not us, but he chooses to do it through us. First of all, notice in the Bible that when God pours out his Spirit, it is upon his people, his gathered people. It is upon the community of faith that gathers to worship. It's there that Spirit is released. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, they were all together in one place. Don't miss church. You miss it once, you'll miss it twice. You miss it twice, you miss it three times. You miss it three times, it becomes a habit. And you just say, "Well, I don't need to go to church. I can be spiritual where I am." And yes, you can be spiritual. But you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Do not forsake the assembling together as some people have done." Because there's something special about coming together as God's people. and receiving what God has to give to his people. You know, if there were a fire up here and I would say, look, I'm going to demonstrate to you this lesson. And I were to take a little twig that's burning in the fire, and I take that little twig or that little piece of coal, and I take it out and I just set it over here for a while. Let it stay there for a little while. Now this fire is going to keep on going, but what's going to happen to the twig? What's going to happen to the coal? It's going to burn out. It's going to get cold. Don't miss Pentecost. Show up. Show up among God's gathered people. The second thing that I want to say is that not only did the people show up and gather in this one place, the upper room, but they waited. You see, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus is telling them, I want you to stay here in the city, Jerusalem, and I want you to wait until the promise of the Spirit comes. I want you to wait. And he didn't tell them how long. He told them to wait. You know, sometimes delay is the greatest robber of our faith. It hasn't happened today. It didn't happen yesterday. Maybe it'll happen tomorrow. It doesn't happen the next day. And you go, well, it didn't happen today. Maybe it'll happen tomorrow. Tomorrow comes. It doesn't happen. Then we go, you know, I'm getting tired of waiting. I don't know about this promise. Do you know what a promise is from God? A promise from God is you can take it to the bank. It will be done. You just don't know when. You got to wait for the promise. And they waited. They didn't know how long they were going to have to do it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes in your life you got to wait. But as you wait, God's doing something. He's renewing you. That's the second thing. We have to learn how to not only gather together, we got to learn how to wait. We got to learn how to be patient. Third thing is pray. Well, what were they doing there? They were praying. There's something about persistence in prayer. You know, I love the parable that Jesus told about the widow and the unjust judge. And the reason he told them that parable was that we ought always to pray and not give up. Again, persistence. There's something about a church that gathers together, that waits upon God's Spirit and prays. And guess what? The Spirit came. Now, when the Spirit came, I'm not going to explain to you, well, what does all this mean? Because I don't really know. All I know is something happened. I'm sure there are experts that will tell you about this and tell you about that. But you know, we can explain stuff to death when we need to be experiencing stuff. So hang in there. So somehow or another, the Spirit came, and guess what? They said, well, you know, we can't keep this stuff to ourselves. We can't keep this good news. We can't keep this forgiveness. We can't keep this wonderful, wonderful, sweet Spirit that we have here in this place to ourselves. There are people out there. There is a burning within our hearts to go share it. And so that's what they did. They went out, and Peter was the spokesperson. You remember Peter? He was the one that denied the Lord three times. You remember Peter? He was sometimes up, sometimes down. He was something. But on this particular day, Peter's sharing the good news. And do you know what happens when he gets finished? They're all wanting to know what to do. And he says, you know, repent of your sins and accept Jesus as your Savior. Look, this is good news. Listen. The promise of the Spirit that had been promised, it's come now. And it was not just to us. It is for those who will follow us and to those generations after them and to those generations after them. The promise of the Spirit is for all persons everywhere. And so that day, 3,000 people were baptized. You see, they couldn't keep it to themselves. Is this stuff good that we got? And we got to share it. I love the story of the husband. I resembled this particular man. And he says, you know, my wife's all the time cooking for me. I think I'll cook something for her. By the way, that's my goal, is to cook Polly breakfast the first day of retirement. I'm working on it. So he says, you know, honey, why don't you go take a nap? I'm gonna make some bread for you. She says, are you sure about that? He says, I think I can. Where's the recipe? She says, yeah, you'll need a recipe. Now, here's the recipe. You follow these instructions. So she goes, takes a nap. He's in there. He's got his apron on. Man, he's got his little hat and everything. He's making some bread, you know. And he doesn't read the directions right. He puts in 3 pounds of yeast. A little bit later, his wife wakes up from the nap. She's upstairs. She says, honey, have you put the bread in the oven yet? He says, put it in the oven. I can't keep it in the kitchen. When the Spirit comes, you can't keep it to yourself. You got to tell somebody. There's an old spiritual. You got to move when the Spirit says move. You got to move when the Spirit says move. You got to move when the Spirit says move. You gotta move when the Spirit says move. None of us need miss Pentecost. It happens any time that we're obedient to the Lord. The Spirit is present today. It doesn't have to be loud. The Spirit can come in a quiet way. You see, in John's gospel, following the resurrection, Jesus came to his disciples and he breathed on them. That's the only sound that happened. He breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit happens many different ways. Your story may not be my story. My story may not be your story. But the promise is true. God's Spirit desires to reside in you and me and all of us. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Just say, come, Holy Spirit, reside in me. Polly and I will be glad to pray with you about anything, and particularly if you'd like to be filled with God's Spirit. But the most important thing that I can say is, even when you leave here, you can still be filled with that Spirit. Let us stand.